Jerry Bader Show 1020. Just about out of fresh TV. Now I have to spend my summer evenings catching up on the stuff I said I was going to watch. They're calling it, this is so disingenuous, they're calling it the mid-season finale of Mad Men. Well, there are 14 episodes to the seventh season that they're breaking in half as they did Breaking Bad on AMC, and the second seven are next year. So it's not really season seven, it's season seven and eight. And instead of the, I think it's 12 episodes that they've been, it's two seven-episode seasons. I don't want to do a spoiler, and this isn't really a spoiler. But there is something going on in Mad Men, and if you don't want to know any of this, yeah, then don't listen. You know, if you haven't caught up to season seven, then you're not going to want to listen. Season 7, Don's second wife, Megan, is a marginal actress. She's living in L.A. He's still living in New York. He's bi-coastal, as they call it. He flies out to see her. She flew to New York to see him in this last episode. A writer who is reviewing an episode of Mad Men, I think it was this last episode, pointed something out. She made a prediction, and now I think she's right. Don's wife is a marginal actress living in a secluded home in the canyons of Los Angeles in the summer of 1969. This writer made a prediction about where this is going. Don, in the last episode, said, "Well, I'll be out to see you in July." I wonder if anybody has any guesses on where that's going and what's going to happen to Megan. Wonder if I have time to do this as a contest. See how many history buffs we have out there. Megan Draper is a marginal actress living in the canyons in L.A., secluded area. In the summer of 1969, she's a little-known actress, and her husband doesn't live with her. And it's... well, no, Jason. And July 1969. See if this person has it. If they do, I think we'll do a pair of Brewer tickets here. Let's see if they have a guess here. Where they're going with... got it. They got it. Do they want to come on the air and show off their intelligence? We'll just have them give the answer on the air. Okay, they coming on the air? All right. Chuck in Sheboygan. Chuck, do you even watch Mad Men?
Actually, I have on and off. It's just okay.
All right, what do you think? What do you think?
Catch it. But just hearing what you're saying, Jerry.
Yeah, what do you think it is?
I couldn't help but think of Sharon Tate and the Manson murders.
If that's where Matthew Weiner goes with this, I'll be stunned, but it's got to be.
It's just perfect.
it has to be. I mean, a lot of people have suspected that for weeks. And then when Don said, "Well, I'll be out to see you in July," it was late July. My birthday is August 2nd. And I know it was right before my 8th birthday. I think that's it. All right, Chuck, hang on. We're going to figure out how to get a pair of tickets to you, okay?
Thanks, Jerry.
Hey, thanks, Chuck. Absolutely right. Now, I don't know if that's where Matthew Weiner is going with this. We'll find out. But yeah, Sharon Tate was this little-known actress. She's married to Roman Polanski, of all people, at that time. And he wasn't there. We'll see. I teased before the break a topic about what is the Veterans Affairs scandal really about. And I brought this up earlier this week. It's about a failed government-run healthcare system. That's the real story here. That, and nobody's getting fired. That Shinseki hasn't gotten fired, that so far no heads have rolled. All we have is bluster from the president, Well, I'm very upset. I'm very angry. We're going to get to the bottom of this. But no one's going to get fired because it's government, and incompetents don't get fired. They get shuffled around. If this was a private sector healthcare firm, all hell would be breaking loose right now. And that's where the Wall Street Journal goes with this piece today. The government healthcare model. This shows where Obamacare ends up, they write. President Obama addressed the Veterans Affairs scandal on Wednesday, saying he's waiting for an inspector general audit. What went wrong? And the press corps is debating whether VA Secretary Ari Shinseski should be fired. These are sideshows. The real story of the VA scandal is the failure of what liberals have long hailed as the model of government health care. Don't take our word for it. As recently as 2011, Paul Krugman praised the VA as a triumph of socialized medicine, as he put it. What's behind this success? Crucially, the VHA is an integrated system which provides health care as well as paying for it. So it's free from the perverse incentives created when doctors and hospitals profit from expensive tests and procedures, whether or not those procedures actually make medical sense. Ah, yes, the VA lacks the evil profit motive. What the egalitarians ignore, however, is that a government system contains its own perverse incentives, such as rationing that leads to treatment delays and preventable deaths, which the bureaucracy then tries to cover up. This isn't an accident or one-time error. It is inherent in a system that allocates resources by political force rather than individual consumer choices. The VA is Obamacare's ultimate destination. The VA operates on a global budget that Congress sets each year to provide veterans a guaranteed level of benefits. All veterans are entitled to free preventative screenings, immunizations, lab services, and EKGs. Most are required to pay little to nothing out of pocket for medical appointments, hospital care, and drugs. All of this creates an ever-growing demand for more services. But in a world of inevitably limited resources, as in every government-run system, the only way the VA can provide universal, low-cost health care is by rationing. At the VA, this means long waiting lists to see doctors and get the free treatment, the, in quotes, free treatment, veterans are entitled to. So it's no surprise that allegations are spilling out that the VA facilities keep secret waiting lists to hide queues that exceed the government's targets. A retired doctor at a vet hospital in Phoenix last month charged that staff concealed months-long delays for as many as 1,600 veterans, allegedly resulting in 40 preventable deaths. Excessive wait times have also been reported in Fort Collins, Durham, Cheyenne, Austin, and Chicago, among others. A new Inspector General report is all but certain to reaffirm the conclusions from its 05, 07, and 2012 reports. To wit, VA centers fudge their data. The VA has consistently boasted in its performance reviews that more than 90% of patients receive appointments within 14 days of their desired date. Yet, according to the IG's 2012 report, the measures had no real value because the VA doesn't have a reliable and accurate method of determining whether they are providing patients timely access to care. VA officials claim backlogs are due to difficulty hiring and retaining staff, but that's another problem endemic to government health care. Compensation is often too low to attract doctors, particularly in high-demand specialties. While VA medical centers can refer patients for private consultations to reduce backlogs, they rarely do. Last year, the IG reported the VA had given $1.02 million in September 2011 to Medical Center in Columbia, South Carolina, for private colonoscopies to address a backlog of 2,500 patients. But in January 2012, by then, the wait lists had grown to more than 3,800. The Columbia VA business office instructed staff not to send out any more non-VA care GI requests for endoscopy until further notice, since they were attempting to internalize procedures. There is more on this, which I will share in 5 minutes. This is a failed single-payer system. That's what the VA is. It's 10:30.
The Jerry Bader Show.